how we need to build a wall of defense in our families so that the enemy can't get to us, to put on the full armor of God. You see, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Why? Because the devil has come to rob, to steal, and to kill. That's why we build defense against the enemy.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, as Raul continues our series in 2 Chronicles, we're glad you've joined us to explore the vital importance of training your children in God's ways. You'll see that while there is no guarantee your children will follow the Lord, you are responsible for filling their hearts with Scripture's truth and safeguarding your home against Satan's lies. If you have your Bibles, we encourage you to join us now in 2 Chronicles chapter 33.
Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. Now notice the importance of young people, how they can have great influence even at a young age. 12 years old, and he takes the leadership of a kingship because of his father. His father was a full-on Christian. He knew God. He did a lot for the kingdom of God. Hezekiah brought revival to the nation of Israel at a time when they were in great apostasy. But listen, just because you walk with God, it doesn't guarantee that your children or your grandchildren will walk with God. There is no guarantee. You will see that here tonight. And yet at the same time, that's why it is so important to brainwash your children and your grandchildren with God. Why? Because the word of God that was given to Manasseh by his father did not return void, because you'll see later on that after 55 years of ruling and reigning, and you're going to find out the tragedy and the awful sins that Manasseh does above any other king that ever existed here among Judah. Look what it says, verse 2. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. How sad. He didn't do good. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. Imagine, he's dead, cleaned up the whole land. And what did he do? He began to rebuild the land with astrology, with pornography, with every evil thing you could imagine. He began to build the kingdom of darkness that had been put away by his father. How Satan got a hold of Manasseh and destroyed his life. Watch what else he did. He raised up altars to Baal, made wooden images, and he worshiped all of the hosts of heaven and served them. Astrology, the worship of the stars. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." There was a, as we get to the book of Ezekiel, you will see after Isaiah and then Jeremiah and then his Lamentations, Ezekiel is next. That you will see that Ezekiel, the prophet, was called by God at one point in his ministry. He was sitting among the priests of Israel, and the Lord came and grabbed him by the hair and lifted him up. And he said, "Ezekiel, I'm going to take you to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to show you what my people are doing." And he carried him over to the house of the Lord and dropped him off. And in the house of the Lord, it would be like if we're in the back of the chapel here, and there's a hole behind this altar over here. And the Lord said, "See that hole in the wall there? I want you to go and look through and tell me what you see." So he went over and he looked through the hole, and he began to look inside of the house of the Lord, and he was just blown away. He saw people inside of God's house, all kinds of pornographic images everywhere. People were having sex in the house of the Lord. Every abomination you could imagine, it was in the house of the Lord. You know what God told him? He says, you know what I just showed you? I just showed you the minds of my people. You went inside of their minds, what they're thinking and what they're doing. God reads our minds. He knows our thoughts. That's why it's really important that when we get into the Word of God every day, what are we doing? We're washing our minds with the Word of God. You see? And then the Lord said to him, you think that's enough? Let me take you around the front. So he took him to the front entrance of the temple where the people were coming into worship. And there in front, if you come here at Calvary Chapel, you come to the front, over by the trees here, by the concrete, you would see 25 priests, 25 pastors sitting down, worshiping the sun. He said, Ezekiel, what do you think about that? Ezekiel's heart was broken. He couldn't believe it. Here's now Manasseh building these pornographic altars so that people can worship the goddess of sex, the worship of the stars, the worship of power, the worship of money. Everything that his father put down and got rid of, he began to rebuild everything in the nation of Israel, the people of God. Look what else it says. Verse 4, he also built altars to the house of the Lord in which he said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. And he practiced soothsaying and used witchcraft and sorcery and consulted, notice, familiar spirits and spiritists. And he did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. First of all, you know what he did? He killed his own children. He took them down to the valley of Hinnom, to the god Molech. They was there, and they would sit in an oven and would heat up this image of Molech with his arms stretched out like this, and they would heat it red hot, and then they would take their babies and they would place them and barbecue them. The people of God. Today, it would equal to abortion. Think of how many abortions have been committed. Babies that have been killed. Not just by the world, but the church. And it's really important that we understand that we learn from past history. That's why the Bible says these things are written for our example, so that what? We don't have to make the same mistakes. We could take a different road. We can be different. We can change our homes. We can change our lives. You see, we can become salt and light instead of darkness. We don't have to be like the rest of the world. We can be different. He also worshipped familiar spirits. Demons spoke to him. He took counsel from demons. He went to the palm readers. He went to the tea readers. He did everything that you could imagine in abomination to God, and yet he provoked what? The Lord to anger. Verse 7. He even set a carved image in an idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Notice that. Now, the prophet Isaiah spoke out against these things at this particular time. Isaiah is prophesying. So it'd be a good thing to read the book of Isaiah. Because even though the people were coming to church at that particular time, Isaiah introduces us in chapter 1 of Isaiah, where the people are coming and they're hearing the music and they're raising their hands and they're doing all kinds of worship. He says they're worshiping not God. He says your hands are full of blood. God rebukes them because their heart was not right before the Lord. And here we see the same thing. In the house of God, he made his own idol and he put it in the house of the Lord where the holiest of holies, where God dwells. Totally blasphemous. And then he said, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers. Only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. Notice, God says you're violating the law of God. You can't be blessed. God wanted to bless. But many times God cannot bless because we violate his principles in his law. We break his word. You see? And he did that. Manasseh did all this.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To find out more about the ministry, visit us on our social media platforms or call 800-634-9165. You can also connect with us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com and download our free app for convenient access to a wide range of faith-building resources. Now let's get back to more teaching from 2 Chronicles.
And so Manasseh seduced Judah. Remember, Judah is the southern kingdom. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. He started to do more evil than the northern kingdom, which already had been judged by Assyria. They should have learned from their brothers and sisters, but they didn't. We should learn from other people that get judged. That God is not asleep. That God is fully awake. God knows what's going on. God knows what's happening. And that's why we need to draw close to the heart of God, because God has not only, something for my life that he wants to do in my life, he wants to use my life, but he wants me to draw close to him. Draw nigh unto me, he said, and I will receive you. God wanted to bless, but they were violating God's law. Verse 9. So Manasseh seduced Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And then the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Notice that. Willingly, willfully would not listen. I was in a radio interview today, and he asked me a couple of questions. What do you think is happening to the church today? And I began to share with him what I've shared with you many times, that what I saw in England and Scotland and Ireland so many years ago, and the same cycle that happened in Great Britain, in Europe, it's already coming towards the United States of America. And that is a coldness, a separation, a selfishness, an isolation from the truth of God, to believe the lie and to be, notice, in this world and think the things of this world are better than the things of God. Priorities all messed up. That's why I'm so happy tonight and so joyous to see so many of you here. You're doing what's cool. You're investing in eternity. And God is pleased and God is joyous when he sees his children in his house, like tonight, studying the word of God. But these people, they didn't want to hear it anymore. Don't tell us anymore. Verse 11. Therefore, because of this, what he's just been talking about, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks and bound him in bronze and fetters and carried him off to Babylon notice, after Manasseh did so much evil, later on, 55 years he ruled. What did God do? God used Assyria to come and take him into captivity, to take him away, to carry him off into Babylon. Imagine that. And now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before God of his fathers. Now notice what happens here. On his way to captivity, he was reflecting on every evil, how he murdered his children, how he worshiped the stars, how he listened to demons, how he had done every abomination you could ever imagine. And all of a sudden, he began to think about his father and the word of God and everything that he had learned when he was a little kid. And guess what happened? He repented. And God listened to him. It's never too late. If you truly repent before God, God can restore you. Manasseh was the worst. Right here we have his testimony. Look what it says. Here he shows his grace, and now he hears the actual prayer of forgiveness. And when Manasseh was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed to him, and he, God, received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Can you believe that? God brought him back so that he could clean it up. God gave him a second chance. How he's given many of us second chances, and third and fourth and fifth, and some of us are in the hundreds now, because that's the God of grace. That's the God of grace. He should have destroyed us a long time ago, but he hasn't. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves each one of us individually. But you notice that Manasseh, the way that it happened is when God used Assyria to carry him to Babylon in affliction. You see, sometimes God will use tragedies. Tragedies. He will use illness. He will use sicknesses. He will use whatever he has to do to humble us so that we can look up to him and we can call upon him. Otherwise, we wouldn't call. You see, he will go out of his way to do whatever he has to do, even if you got to get cancer or you're going to die in a traffic accident, whatever it is, if he can get your attention and he can make you come to repentance, he'll do it because he loves you so much. That's the God we serve. That's why it's so good to hear the stories. Here's Manasseh. Look what else happens. Verse 14. And after this, he built a wall outside of the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance to the fish gate and an enclosed Ophel. And he raised it a very great height. And then he put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. What is he doing? He's making a stronghold to defend the city. You see? To keep away his enemy, where before he didn't even care. Now he cares. How we need to build a wall of defense in our families, for our families, for our homes, in our jobs, so that the enemy can't get to us. A wall of defense to put on the full armor of God, you see, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Why? Because the devil has come to rob, to steal, and to kill. That's what we built. Defense against the enemy. Here it is. Verse 15. He took away the foreign gods, the idols from the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built on the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. You know, he had a true conversion. Think when you came to Christ, how people thought you flipped out. When I came to Christ, they thought I flipped out. My mom and dad, they thought, oh man, he really went out on the deep end now for sure. my friends too. Because they know you. They know how crazy you used to be and the things you used to do. I used to do crazy stuff, man. You dare me? I'll do it. But then all of a sudden, then God touches your heart and now there's conviction and the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life and those works of darkness begin to turn into what? Into the works of light. And instead of doing wrong, you start doing what's right. And that's what makes a change in people's lives when they see your life. That you're changed. You're not the same person. You're getting rid of the idols. You're cleaning up your life. You're cleaning the temple. You see? Then God can begin to dwell in you and to work through your lives. Here he is. Watch again. Verse 16. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thanks offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Notice that. Building a family altar in your home. Very important. Fathers, be the spiritual leaders of your homes. Pray with your wives. Pray with your children. Let them see that you are the spiritual leader of your home. There are so many homes where the wife leads because the husband's a wimp. But let me tell you this. When a man takes the authority in love and not screaming, yelling, and losing your temper, but really becomes a temperate man and takes the family and says, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Listen, they're going to follow. And they're going to submit themselves to the Lord when you're submitted to the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Look what else he says, verse 17. Nevertheless, the people still sacrifice on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. How can that happen? To worship demons and to worship God. Listen, the people only had a partial repentance. They had a dull heart. You can't have a dull heart. You have to have a single heart. And there's a lot of people today in the church that are just like these people. They come to church and they still worship their high places. You can't do it. You're split between two opinions. You cannot do that. You're either in or you're out. You cannot serve two masters. You love the one, you hate the other, Jesus said. So you have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. The gods of Egypt or the Lord Jehovah God? Who is God? Like Elijah with the 400 prophets. Hey, if your God is God, show us. First of all, he said, let's do it. And remember what happened? They saw that the God of Elijah was the God of gods, and their gods were no gods. They didn't do one miracle. And God overtook them. Hey, listen, we serve the living true God in our lives tonight. He is God. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we must take the counsel of Manasseh. That as Manasseh walked away from God and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he worshiped astrology. He did murder. He did all these things. And yet God received him back because he was truly repentant.
We hope today's teaching has been a challenge for you to set a strong spiritual example for your kids as you guide them in nurturing an authentic faith. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. To review the lesson you've just heard, call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you get in touch with us, ask for Raul's message from 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We'd also like to offer you a resource that will help you establish a God-honoring heritage for your family. Titled Practical Living, Rawls' daily devotional will lift your spirit with encouraging meditations from Scripture and teach you how to listen for the Lord's leading in your decision-making. This inspiring resource is now available for just $5 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit us at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for Rawls' Practical Living Daily Devotional, priced at a great value. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. To order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. As we look for new ways to serve and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, we welcome your feedback. We also invite you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio to take advantage of our many free resources. Catch Straight Talk with Raul every week on his YouTube channel. Join Raul Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific for this Q&A program providing scriptural guidance for walking in step with the Lord. You can also enjoy free podcasts of any of these programs using Spotify or iTunes. And, of course, you can visit us anytime on Instagram and Facebook. Somebody Loves You Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Every contribution you make helps us reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And, of course, every gift is tax-deductible. Well, it's been a blessing to meditate on God's Word with you today, and we hope you'll join us again next time for the conclusion of our journey through 2 Chronicles. Together, we'll explore the Bible's power to ground and guide us as we navigate the complexities of our broken world. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.